visiting the Artsy Bookworm on Scribble.
Welcome to Scribble, 30 minutes of conversation, comments, and reviews on reading and writing, editing, publishing, and selling books. I'm Rebecca Wee.
And I'm Don Wooten. Tamara Felden has had a distinguished career in education. Now she has a bookstore. We'll find out how that works on Scribble. Well, Tamara, I must say, I visited the Artsy Bookworm, and it's a really neat place.
Thank you.
And my daughter immediately bought something.
That's good.
Yes.
But, you know, glancing over your resume, I think, my goodness, you have had a very distinguished career in education.
Yeah. I've been very fortunate. I was a non-traditional student. I always loved reading. I'm the only child. I grew up with a mother reading to me. I learned to read at an early age. When I was a fairly young girl, I encountered an adult who did one of these things, asking me, what do you want to do when you grow up? What do you want to be? And I said, a librarian.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he said, why? And I said, they get to read all the books
Everything.
In the library.
Yeah.
And that bubble got burst. But but when I had to make decisions, I came to the U.S. I encountered the community college system. I had not gone to university in Germany. And I thought, what a country. You can simply go and learn if you want to.
Yeah.
And eventually I had to make choices having to do with major and so on. And I'm very interested in the life sciences and biology. And Don and I were talking a little bit. I'm really interested in cognitive science and what it tells us about the world. And I had a choice to make between that and literature. And I thought, you know, in science, we will always have new discoveries. But literature will always have to deal with humans do with those. And in the end, that attracted me more.
Oh,
and so I stuck with it, earned my PhD. At that point, in all of the U.S., I think there were something like 9 jobs in German literature in the whole country. We used to joke paleontologists had a better job market than German lit people. And so I was deeply shocked to find that Augustana College wanted to hire me to literally teach German and German language. And so I came here, had a wonderful experience, stayed for a number of years, and then went to Black Hawk College as an administrator. Mm-hmm. And some of my Augie friends talked about that in terms of me going over to the dark side, but I think they've forgiven me. And I found that I loved that too. When I was a TA, the very first day I stepped into the classroom, I knew this was my gig. I loved it from the get-go. I had an overcrowded classroom in a huge state university. I loved all of it. But then when I became an administrator, I loved that too, because I felt if I did my job well, I could make things better for a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
that motivated me. That got me out of bed in the morning. And Black Hawk gave me a wonderful chance. They really took a leap of faith hiring me in the position that they hired me into. And then 5.5 years later, I ended up going to the University of Chicago. And that was almost initially a joke because I saw on one of the job boards in my profession, I saw an announcement that the University of Chicago had an opening for someone like me at what I imagined a completely different level. And I said to my partner, University of Chicago is hiring. He's a dyed-in-the-wool Chicago boy. His family lived there and all of that. And he said, so are you going to apply? And I said, no, it's the University of Chicago. And he said, so you don't think you can do the job? And I thought, wait a minute. And
yeah.
So we did let that sit for a bit. And then I thought, no, I'm going to apply for that job. So long story short, I was there for 14 and a half years as Director of International Affairs, and the last few years as an Associate Dean of Students in the university. And I learned in all these jobs so much. Mm-hmm. And all of them benefited from books. And so many things I've read helped along the way, right? And then I retired from there. And retirement always meant you get to do whatever you want now. So in the first year, I ended up committing to teach both at the Augie, in the Augie Honors Program, and in the Adult Education Center ESL program mm-hmm. at Black Hawk. I worked harder than I had for years.
Oh my goodness.
But it was also a wonderful experience because on the one hand, I was dealing with refugees who were so intent on making this language work for them.
Yeah.
And talk about reading. We had 3 hours every morning. They depended on public transportation, on childcare, on all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So one could not expect that they were going to be there at precisely 9 o'clock. And
right.
I thought, how do I manage that? And I thought, you know what? I will make the first half hour free reading time.
Reading. Yeah.
And I went to Barnes & Noble and bought pretty much the entire Who Is or Who Was series.
Okay.
These short biographies on all sorts of people. And I put them into the classroom and I said, when you come in, just sit and read until 9:30. Then we get to the joint curriculum. Pick one, you leave it in the classroom, and you come back the next day. We met 5 days a week. When you come back the next day, continue reading. And when you've read it, you mark it up on the board. And so they kept track. And I learned what an incredible privilege and pleasure it was for those students to have half an hour of unrestricted reading time. It was just absolutely wonderful. It's the kind of thing that makes a teacher just break out in joy. At the same time, I really enjoyed teaching in the honors program again. I had taught in that program years ago, and I'm still teaching in it. And then we had the pandemic hit.
Yes.
So
along comes the pandemic.
Along comes the pandemic, and it challenged us in so many ways. We were fortunate in my household that we didn't, in our immediate family, lose anybody. And we made it through okay. And my partner and I are perfectly happy in our little house together. That didn't bother us one bit. We taught strictly online, which actually worked better than I had anticipated. The students were amazing through all of that. They worked hard. They stayed with it. But I kept thinking, you know, the community is really suffering.
Yeah.
People are in a world of hurt. What can you do as a resident that would be a good thing for the community? And I serve on a couple of boards and I do some things like that. But that had been on my mind for a while. And I live just a block from the store, so I'm in that area frequently. It had been sitting empty for a long time, but no sign or anything. It never occurred to me. I never thought of it. And then one day I came by and there was a for lease sign out there. And I thought, that's a really cute little store. Somebody should do something with that.
Now, if only somebody would be somebody.
Somebody, like a bookstore, would be so cool. When we travel, wherever we go to bookstores and museums, right? Bookstores, bookstores, bookstores. And if we can find used bookstores, even better. And I thought, somebody should open a bookstore there. And I kept coming by, and I thought, maybe I should look at it. Maybe I should open a bookstore there. And then I thought, well, books, I need more. I thought my artist friends are really in a hurt because so many of these venues closed down, right? And I thought, so we want books and art. Well, so anyway, I went home and said to Kurt, I'm going to open a bookstore. And he said, oh, okay, where? I said, over there next door to Cool Beans. He said, okay, when? I said, oh, roughly in the summer. And he said, okay. So is this a guy or what?
I know. Anything I throw at him,
he goes, okay. And he supports me. And
I learned not to argue with my wife a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he has always been wonderful about it. And I've thrown some things at him. One day I said, I'm going to retire. And he said, okay, when? And I said, June 23rd. And he said, okay. So life is good. These are conditions under which a woman can step out and then try something new. And so I looked at the space. It's a little old house. The fact that it's not just a box storefront is actually an advantage. It has all these nooks and crannies. And so, but it needed some love, it needed work. So my daughter helped a lot. She lives in Moline. And she would, by golly, work her day's work and then in the evening come and join me and on weekends join me. And we painted and we did this, that, and the other. We had the landscaping redone. We had new lighting installed and so on. And in our house, we have quite a lot of art ourselves. And we have a strong gray color because you've been to our house. It has all these bright colors in the art, abstract art. And a strong gray really makes that pop out. And I thought, I want a friendly color. I want people to come in and feel really comfortable. So it needed to have color, but also not be too dark, also not too modern light. So we ended up with this soft green and the oak furniture, and it was just coming together day by day by day. And
you
so,
know, did you do the entrance to the house is charming. It is just wonderful. Did you do that?
I had it done by a contractor, yes, because there was just a narrow concrete walkway that sort of was uneven, that had a bump in it and so on. And I thought, This is just, it looks ugly. There was just a little piece of grass. So we tore the whole thing out and put this walkway up that terraces out in front of the window. So when the weather is nice, we can have a table out there and a cart with some bargain books and some things to dig through. And they did a beautiful job. It's environmentally self-sustaining. It's a little rain garden, and so it gradually fills in. So it's really come together in a way in which I had hoped it would.
You know, I've walked down that street many, many times, but this time I walked in and thought, where did this come from?
Yeah.
I do not remember this. This is an utterly charming house, and I don't remember it being here. Was it just dropped into place or what?
Well, when did you open? What was the?
We opened very quietly on June 23rd. I leased it January 1st.
Yeah.
And then it took us quite a while to do the work and start to get inventory into the building. But I'm very pleased with it. I've moved many times in my life. And to me, space is, what do you do with it? If in doubt, put a plant there, right? We have all these things. How do we make a place homey and pleasant and comfortable, right? And customers come in and they just love the space. They go wandering around and explore, and I really enjoy that. And we have conversations about books and all sorts of things. So it's really gratifying.
Yeah, I must say, it's. I was impressed. I was truly. I love bookstores, and I've been in bookstores which were simply warehouses, and I've loved them. But this was different, and I keep saying charming, but that's it. That's just what it is. And the way you have provided different areas for children and so on, and you've cataloged things or organized things so efficiently. That's very German, isn't it?
And it's very me. So order from chaos is really my deep passion in life. Mm. And all of the positions I've taken over time had an element of chaos to them where something needed to happen. And I said just – and I had bosses who basically said, here's your office. There's a secretary. If you need help, let us know. And they walked away. And I loved it because I could look at what was needed. How could I do the best with that? And that's what really thrills me when that can come to fruition. It took a lot of soul searching. How do you organize the books? Do you put the used books separate from the new books? How do you categorize
the
books?
How do you choose? That's what I keep thinking. How do you decide what to
put a book nerd in charge of buying books? Oh, my gosh. And I hope that people wander into the store and find something that they didn't know they were looking for.
Yeah.
A book that opens a new perspective, that makes them think differently maybe about something or somebody, right, to where they're pulling something off the shelf and say, let's do this.
Yeah.
We actually just started something. I have a small cart with blind date books, and they're categorized into nonfiction and fiction. You don't have to dress up. You don't have to decide salad or steak. You don't have to do any of these things. You just buy a book, and it's a bargain, And you open the wrapper, which is plain newspaper, and you read, right? And I thought, well, maybe people think this is a really crazy idea, but people have been buying them and said, oh, this is so cool. I'll take a fiction one, right? And so how can you discover reading?
It reminds me of how you described that class coming in and having half an hour to read, and what a gift it is to have time to have someone hand you or give you options for what to read. And we forget, I think, among those of us privileged enough to be surrounded by books, what a huge gift that is. And I love that you're still on the edge of Augustana and that you can, you know, fill it up with books that students don't have to be tested on, you know, that they can just... but everyone else, you're right, in the community, all the small bookstores have disappeared because of Barnes & Nobles and because of online and everything else. But you talk to people and they love books still, you know. Yeah. So it's just, what a gift.
Yeah, we have talked to, I think, every bookstore owner in the area over the years.
Yeah.
And to me, you can't have too many bookstores.
I know.
One of the delightful things about London is you can go down the street bookstore to bookstore to bookstore.
Yes.
And you can find something somewhere.
Yeah.
But I see where some of my books are going tomorrow. this is a wrenching thing because I buy books because I value what I can get from them.
Yeah.
And the thought of letting them go is, you know, well, I can't. But obviously I must because there has to be space to move.
I've told my staff, I think this is the place where the wooden collection will start.
I should get that done. I'll try to do that this week before Christmas comes in.
We'll be happy to work with you.
I've collected some really great stuff. I don't know, though, about... I lost my mind over a period of 2 or 3 years, and I started buying Folio Society books. Now, the cheapest Folio Society book I have ever purchased was, I think, $35. The most expensive one was $150. These are exquisitely, they're all slipcased and so on. And there they sit, and I think, Don, what were you thinking?
Well, there is some way that if you love books, you know, everything about them, from the weight and the paper stock and the type, everything, you know. But you're right. You can't – most of us don't reread very much. But I'm the same way. I've just got a house full of books. I have a sister-in-law who just kind of says – no, you know, I don't want all those books. I read them once and I give them away to somebody else. Mm-hmm. It's somebody else's turn to read this book. And well, I love the idea of that, but I can't do it very well.
Well, that was Roald's trick.
Yeah.
I know I'd lend a book to Roald and then later I'd say, where is it now?
And he would have passed it on. Is that...
We learned that late in life after we had accumulated a lot of books. And it's really challenging because you cherish them. You value them.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about. So being in Chicago every week for many years, the Newbery Library has a gigantic book sale once a year.
Oh, yeah.
People arrive with boxes in hand,
sure.
Strategically parked. Right? I mean, it's incredible. The quality and the quantity... And I remember there was one day I was standing in a full edition of the Federalist Papers. And I thought, these are things people should read. Yeah. And then I thought, tomorrow, get real. So I walked away and did not put a bid on. They usually have some things that are high-quality collections that they auction off. But I know the instinct, and it's sort of... These are important books. I should read these. And even now in the store.
Well, the worst thing is you go into a bookstore and you feel I've got to buy something. I have just got to buy something.
Just because there's so many options?
Well, because all of a sudden you see something, you think, I don't have that.
Oh,
I
that. Yeah.
And the next thing you know, you've got an armful of books. You're wandering out and you think, do I really, what did I just do?
Yep.
There's a New Yorker cover that has, you know, a couple sitting in their bed, and on each side table, there's stacks of books up to the ceiling, you know, and they're kind of in there looking up, and you think, uh-huh, that's kind of how it goes. You can't read it all.
But let's get some technical stuff here before we run out of time, although we're not that close. But when do you operate? What are your hours? What days are you open?
We are open Wednesday through Saturday from 11 to 5, and Sundays from 12 to 4. We're closed Monday and Tuesday. This week, we're actually a little bit longer, but that has to do with the holidays.
We're recording this ahead of time, so yep. This week is past.
Yeah. Yeah.
But... the action picks up as you get closer to the holidays. We're a couple of weeks away from Christmas now, so that's you may be selling books.
Yeah, and we have a number of activities. We have a group of what we call the Artsy Stitchers, people who knit, crochet, do anything stitching. We meet once a month. We have a book club. We have an author event about every other Sunday, and we're currently booking for May. So we have about 20 or so local authors who are selling through us.
Nice.
And so every other Sunday we have an author reading, book signing, etc. And so we're starting to get some traffic.
People
who
wonderful.
Don't usually have
I don't
access
know if Mary
to that.
David Saver has talked to you yet or not, but she has Shadows over Bishop Hill, and she's farming her book out only to regional bookstores.
Yeah, we have her books, and actually I've read the first one and I thought, wow, Bishop Hill.
Yeah.
There's a lot more going on. There are actually two Clouds Over Bishop Hill is the other one. And so you learn things about the community that you never knew about, right?
Exactly.
And there's also this new one that Misty Urban edited, These Interesting Times, Surviving 2020 in the Quad Cities. A bunch of people have gotten together to set down their reactions to this pandemic year.
Yeah.
Some poetry, some prose, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. Roel and I used to wonder, how can there be so many authors in this community?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is in Chicago, but
we
talked to, I think, 200 authors or publishers or something before we had a repeat. And now we occasionally have repeats, but most of the time we're talking to somebody we've never talked to before.
Yeah.
And that's been since October of 2014.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
Yeah. And we have a huge number of producing artists in the community.
That's the next thing I wanted
amazing.
To ask you. Is
My
how...
line always is Rock Island's Got Talent. You know, there is amazing talent here. And so when the store started coming together, I was beginning to think, I want things here that I have wanted to find in the past that I couldn't. So the first thing was a bookstore. Then I was thinking of art. Mm-hmm. Then I was thinking, well, there should be kids' toys.
Yeah.
I have grandchildren and now a couple of great-grandchildren. The only actual small toy collection still that doesn't take you to one of the big box stores is at the Watermark Corners in Moline. That's only one.
Yeah.
And now we're the second one,
now
right? So I wanted, and a number of our repeat customers are parents of young kids who come in and they pick up some books or they pick up a toy. And then, of course, there are some gifts. And then yarn had to be part of that. One of
yarn,
my obsessions has to do with yarn. And so the kinds of things that would show up and I would go and purchase my stash for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then some months later, I would go back to get more and the place wasn't there anymore.
Yeah.
Right? And so those are all things. And I wanted, for commercial reasons, obviously we have to make a go of this. I wanted somebody to have more than one reason to walk into the door and say, you know, there are all sorts of things that are being offered here that are interesting.
But how are you going to fit all this in? I mean, there's only so much space. So you have to make judgments and you have to put things in and take things out. Either that or you're going to blow out the walls and expand to next door.
I think my landlady would start to shudder in horror. But actually, I'm finding that the more I look at the place, the more I can fit into it. So there is a strategy to how can we do this. I have one staff member working for me who is really good at displaying things, and she will take a small cart, and she will take, we have a number of items that are alternatives to plastic that are either bamboo or glass, and so our household items, snack items, and so on. And she will create a cart with some of those, with some of our books about the environment, a couple of books about how to get out of plastic in your household. Uh-huh. And she has a real talent. And so we do these little spots, and we can squeeze quite a number more books into this place. So we have not touched the tops of bookshelves. There are all sorts of places we can fill yet.
But, you know, I share the thought, you know, why don't I just open a store and get all these books and records and stuff in one place and just sell them? Yeah. And I thought, because you have no business sense. That's why.
Oh, yeah. Well.
And besides, it's work. I've had enough work in my life, I think.
I love the combination of things that you've brought together. How are you deciding art, because you're selling it as well, right? Is it community people's work?
Yeah. They're local artists, and I can accommodate a number of displays in the store. They rent the space for a small fee, and they have the space for 3 months.
Okay.
So people have an opportunity to see that artist's work. After 3 months, everything turns over. We have an artist of the month, and so that is the artwork one sees prominently when you come in.
Okay.
So Rowan Schusheim Anderson was the first, and came Peter Zhao. We now have Kathleen Washington, who has these amazingly colorful things, and she'll tackle any medium. She will do furniture. She will do ceramics. She will take on anything. And so we have this wonderful talent here. And I knew many of the artists simply because we've been seeing their work for many years. We've been collecting their work for decades. And so I knew that there was a huge number of artists in what is a relatively small community.
Place. Yeah.
Well, we are running out of time now, but before we go, I want you to give your address and your hours again.
Okay. We're at 1319 30th Street. For those who are familiar with where Cool Beans used to be, we're directly next door to us, and there's a big sign. So take a look at that. We are open Wednesdays through Saturdays from 11 to 5, and on Sundays from 12 to 4. We have a website, a Facebook page. We're turning up in a number of places, so please look for us.
Okay. Well, I must say, Tamara Felden, you've had an amazing career, and the way you're sliding out here as a bookseller just amazes me. I want to remind our listeners you can contact us at contactscribble1014@gmail.com. We'd love to have your comments, criticisms, your reviews of books you've read that you like, any way you want. Just contact us that way. But by all means, join us again next week, when Rebecca, we and I will be back with another guest on the next edition of Scribble.